Just to frame the mitzvah, the prohibition of shatnez comes up in two places in the Torah. One in Parshas which Parshas is a parsha, particularly chapter 19, but I guess 20 also, that really encompasses the most basic principles of the Torah. There, Torah tells us, "Eschukosai tishmoru, lo." There's three different kinds of mixtures we're not allowed to have. Not allowed to crossbreed livestock with different species. Not allowed to sow one's field with a mixture of seeds. And a garment that has a mixture of shatnez shall not come upon you. That's the language. Lo yalelecha shall not come upon you. Language is perhaps less significant. So we're obviously going to talk about the latter. And the first two have their place also. But we're going to talk particularly about clothing. So that's one mention in the Torah. And Rashi says, when it comes to, before that, we'll just read the second pasuk. Second pasuk comes from Parsha Ki Tetzeh, which is a parsha that has the most mitzvos in the Torah. There's 70 something. So pasuk says, you shall not wear a mixture of wool and linen together. So interestingly, the pasuk in Kedoshim does not specifically mention wool and linen, but the pasuk in Ki Teitzeh mentions wool and linen together, and it singles out specifically wearing them. Right, the pasuk in Kedoshim says it should not come upon you, and Dvarim it says that you're not allowed to wear it. So, first thing that they bring us through is what is the reason for this prohibition of shatnez? Right, what could possibly be wrong with wearing clothing of wool and linen? If there's no prohibition of wearing polyester and cotton together, so what is it about wool and linen? So Rashi points out that in the pasuk in Kedoshim, it mentions chukosai, my statutes. So Rashi says chukim elu gzeros melech she'ein tam ledavar. These are rules that there's no rationale for. Rules of the king that there's no rationale for. Now, usually when we say that there's not a reason for something, it's not that there's no reason whatsoever. It's that it's not intelligible to us as human beings what's going on. But shatnez is certainly one of the paradigmatic examples of a chok where we're told we're not supposed to do something, and from a logical perspective, it's really hard to understand why on earth it should be a problem. And so this whole category of chukim is things that we don't necessarily understand. It's not there. Okay, fine. That's what Rashi says. But with that said, there are some hints in Chazal, and some of the Rishonim tried to grapple with what the reason for shatnez is. So, famous Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Bereishis. Where does shatnez come up in Parshas Bereishis? Cain and Hevel, Cain and Abel. So in source 4, page 293, the Midrash tells us, it tells us that Cain brought me pri ha'adamah. So what did he bring? He brought me motah machalo. He brought leftover food. Which itself, if you brought leftover food, maybe that explains why God rejected your gift, because you're not going to serve leftovers to the king, I would think. But Rabbanan Amru Zera Pishtan Haya. What was the fruit of the ground? So it wasn't actual food. It was seed of flax. It was linen. Cain offered linen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hevel also brought from the firstborn of the sheep and their fats. So we have flax, which is linen from Cain, and we have from the firstborn of the sheep. Sheep have wool. So therefore, linen and wool were forbidden, as it say, do not wear shatnez. Why is it prohibited to wear shatnez? Because the offering of of a sinner and the offering of somebody who not only was a good person but that was killed innocently. So those two should not mix together. That's a fatal mixture, and therefore we should not do that. So according to the Medrash, this brings us back all the way to the beginning. This brings us back to the beginning of humanity, and not the first or original sin, however one would refer to Adam and Chava, but certainly one of the first examples of human error has to do with this. That's what the Medrash says. Sefer Chinuch gives a couple of interesting reasons on page 296, sources 5 and 6. Source 5, I believe, comes from Kedoshim, and 6 would come from Kitetze. So truthfully, the first thing that the Sefer Chinuch says, I don't entirely understand. It has something to do with constellations, and if you graft one species with another, so a third species is created, merges, that the grafting negates the power of both of them. That when you graft things together, you're negating the power of both elements, and that messes with the constellations. There's a constellation over each species, so when you mix them together, you're completely undermining both of their power. Therefore, we have, he says, I'm reading this in English, therefore we have been prevented from raising to our spirits, even when it's done by us, any matter that shows our desire to switch the perfect acts of God. That's a point that perhaps is a little bit key, that if you have two things that were meant to be separate and you put them together, so that's a distortion of what God intended. So that's what he says here first. And then he quotes the Rambam, in source 6, he quotes the Rambam, and I assume this is in the Mor Nevuchim, who says that that there were pagan priests who used to wear shatnez. So, and specifically singles out Egypt. So in order to differentiate ourselves from the pagans, we do not wear shatnez, which for the Rambam is a reason for a lot of mitzvahs, is that it goes back to idolatry and separating ourselves from idolatry. One way I was thinking about this that I would understand it, right? Even if we don't entirely understand what's going on here. So if you think about like elements and chemicals, so there are some that if you combine them, that the reaction is a productive reaction, and some elements or chemicals, if you combine them, so it's explosive. So apparently, on some spiritual level, whether or not we understand why. Because again, according to the first thing that the Sefer Chinuch mentioned, that God created each species, but still, like, it's only wool and linen that are forbidden. So, like, why not other mixtures? But apparently, the mixture of wool and linen has some sort of spiritual catastrophic result, which maybe that does go back to Cain and Hevel. But that was the way I was thinking about it, just to sort of make sense of the fact, like, why certain species than others. Refersh,
Rava,
yeah.
I taught Kedosha many, many times, and I forget who says it. It might have been the Chizkuni, it might have been one of the others, that a different reason, almost the opposite of what the Rambam says, is that the Kohen Gadol's Avnet, that was Shatnez, that had to be Shatnez, it's the ingredient to make the Avnet, to make his belt. And then it says that since the Kohen Gadol is on such a high level, it gave the phrase that Ein Hedyot Mishtamesh B'Shavet HaMelech, that a commoner is not allowed to use the king's scepter or sit in the king's throne, so a common person is not allowed to do any, use anything made of shatas because that was set aside for the Kohen Gadol.
Good, good, good. That's definitely helpful. So first, I was going to mention a couple of things from Hirsch, but Hirsch brings it up at the end. He also points out that tzitzis, technically speaking, if you have there was an assumption that the beged, that the clothing piece for the tzitzis would be linen, but the threads would be wool, and that's the only exception to shatnez besides Kohen Gadol. But even with tzitzis, interestingly, so tzitzis also would have tchelis. Tchelis was part of the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. So I've heard this said in regards to tchelis, but maybe this is true also with shatnez, that while the Kohen Gadol can wear a large amount of shyness and can, bring that to the fullest level. While regular people are not allowed to imitate that, but there's like a slight imitation that's allowed. So that's why there's one thread of tchelos, in tzitzis, and maybe that's why shyness is allowed just in that particular circumstance. It's one very small area where we allow that, but there's a little bit of kahuna that's tolerated for even the commoner. Rav Hirsch also talks about there being sort of a moral element to shatnez, and he says like this. He says, the Torah regards clothing as a distinguishing feature. I'm reading this directly from Rav Hirsch's Chumash, not in the book. The Torah regards clothing as a distinguishing feature that separates man from animal. Inherent in the historical origin of his clothing is a message for man: be man, remain human, do not heed the voice or the example of the beast. So what's going on there? So he explains that Hashem separated diverse species when he sows his field, is reminded of the exalted law of Liminehu, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, each species was created Liminehu. You see that in the first chapters of Bereishis. So therefore, one's reminded of the one God, the lawgiver of the world, is thereby charged to subordinate himself as well to God's laws so that he not be the only one in God's universe who violates his laws. So part of this is that, and this goes back a little bit to the Chinuch, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made things, according to their species, according to certain laws, and to violate God's order in that sense is not proper. But he also says that he talks about, for example, we're not allowed to mix milk and meat, basar and challah. So he says there's two elements to basar and challah. There's the vegetative, which is, and there's the and there's the animal. So the challah presumably is relatively more vegetative, even though it's not vegan friendly. And the basar is the animal. So for an animal. He says, in the animal element serves the vegetative element. That's to say, perception, sensation, emotion serve the physical drive for nourishment and reproduction. Right? Why do animals have any sort of function? It's to survive. It's to be able to live physically. So this man has a different purpose. His task is to subordinate himself with the vegetative element to the animal element. For us, our animal element is meant to serve us spiritually. But the animal part is subordinated to other things instead of the other way around, where the animal elements are meant for an animal, the animal element is meant to propel them. For us, it's the opposite. So he says the same thing with Tzemer u'Pishtim, that Tzemer is from an animal and Pishtim is a plant derived. So he says, perception and willpower not to be connected with the urges of the stomach and of sexuality. Man, Tzemer and Pishtim are to be separated, each to be given its own realm. The animal force should not incline downward to vegetative sensuality, but upward to the free-willed human spirit. The animal element in man must be ennobled through the realization of aims that are sacred to God. So he says, if one who combines Tzemer and Pishtim in the garment of his human appearance, and to the degree that he attaches himself to sensuality, he detaches himself from God. So all this is to say that tzemer, again, wool represents something animalistic. Linen represents is something that's not from an animal. So there's a time and place for us to have our sort of physical elements, but if we mix that physical and that animal and that vegetative, in a sense that the vegetative is serving the animalistic, then we've sort of violated an order. So it says, therefore, there should be a separation, that there's a place for the physicality and place for the spirituality, but the spirituality should not be dulled by the physicality. Okay. That's refresh. I found that to be, I found that to be a bit illuminating. So Finally, the Yosef, Ravadia Yosef in source 7 on page 296 says that the prohibition kilayim applies to everybody everywhere, whether or not the Beis HaMikdash is standing. Okay, fine. So what is the Torah definition of shadness? What is shadness? So this is in source 8 on page 297. So the Mishnah says in
In our book, I
Asavush.
think it's on 291. In the book we have, I think it's on 291.
It's 291.
The Torah definition of shadness. In my book, anyway, it's
Yeah,
291.
thank you, Susie. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, I have a different kind. Oh, that's so strange because sometimes I thought my book was behind, or not this far ahead. I don't know. Okay, sorry. Page 291, source 8. So Mishnah says, "Ein aser mishum kilaim ela tavei ve'arug." So kilaim only applies to that which is spun and woven. Shenemar lo tilbas shatnez. Davashu shuva tavui vanuz. So Mishnah's telling us that the word shatnez, which is like, what does that even mean? The word shatnez is actually an acronym for shuva, which means, according to Rashi, shuva means like being smooth or combed together. Tavui means being spun together. And nuz is, according to Rashi, being woven together. So that's the definition of shatnez. So Rashi says the halacha that in order for something to be shatnez from the Torah, and on a rabbinic level it's different. Rabbinic level we're generally stricter, but on the Torah level, if you have wool and linen, the combination only becomes shatnez when it's smooth and combed together and spun together and woven together. Right, and they know here if any of these conditions are lacking, even if they were later mixed together, one does not violate biblical shatnez, but only rabbinic one. Tosfot says a little bit differently on page 292. Name of Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi's grandson. Sorry, I'll just shut on me. So he says that on a Torah level, shatnez means achia shua tavoy vanuz, shua kol echad levado nami v'chein nami tavoy v'chein nuz levado l'charkach yachdav l'chabram. So according to Rashi, if the smoothing and spinning and weaving is done at the sort of a separate point, and only then they're kind of thrown on together. So that's not a violation of shatnez. Whereas Tosfos says that even if you spin the wool separately and the and you you smooth the wool separately from the linen and you spin it separately from the linen, even if you combine them later, that is a violation of shatnez. So that's according to Tosfos. And the Rambam says as follows in source 11. Kevashin any connection between wool and linen, kilaim. This is kilaim from the Torah. Ketzad, semer fishtim. So if wool and linen were mixed together, combed together, and made into a smooth mass, they're considered as mixed fabrics. If they were mixed and combed as one, and then a garment was woven from this combed fabric, they are considered to be mixed fabrics. So the Rambam seems to have the strictest definition that you don't need to have all three elements of smoothing and spinning and weaving, that even on their own, those things can be a violation of shatnez. So again, the three different positions that we have here is Rashi says that the prohibition only applies when all three processes of combing, spinning, and winding or weaving are done. According to Rabbeinu Tam, even if the processes are performed separately for linen, separately for wool, and then later combined, that's shatnez. Rambam says the prohibition applies if the combing alone or the spinning and the weaving or winding together, so even if those processes are, you know, only one or two of those processes are taking place, so that could be a violation of Sha'anaz. The Shulchan Aruch sides with the Rambam, right? Any manner of joining them would be a prohibition of kilayim, and he says like the Rambam. But the Shach, the Siftei Kohen, argues on the Shulchan Aruch and says that most poskim say that Rambam's opinion is not really accepted by most poskim, and what the Rambam's talking about is only prohibited rabbinically. So I don't know if the Shach holds by Rashi or Tosfos, but he says that most poskim would accept do not accept the Rambam's opinion. But again, in some level, that becomes more of an academic point because rabbinically, it's all prohibited. So, with that said, so we mentioned that Sha'anaz is the process of combing, spinning, and either weaving or winding together. But let's say you have two different, two totally different sets of garments. So, to what extent does combining those become a violation of Sha'anaz? So the Gemara in Yevamos says in source 14, Kasabi Baile Litokef Shte Trifos, if somebody does two stitches together, Chibor Utrifa Achas Eno Chibor. So if there are two stitches combining two garments, then that's considered a connection that would be a violation of Sha'anaz. But if it's only one stitch, that's not a violation of Sha'anaz. Like a parallel thing might be that, like with Hilchos Shabbos, that writing one letter is technically not a violation from the Torah. Writing two letters or erasing two letters is a violation from the Torah. So that's what we're saying here as well, that two stitches is a violation from the Torah. One stitch combining these two garments would not be prohibited from the Torah. So the Rashba was asked a question about wearing a garment of wool on top of a cloak of linen. And you mentioned this, Rav Yehonatan Hatzarfati. Rav Yehonatan of France said that was forbidden unless there's another garment separating them. And he heard in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah that if he was wearing a wool garment, so he would not tighten his belt, so he wouldn't attach it to his cloak. So the Rashba says, this is on page 295, he says, Halacha l'maisa kach nagu ko yisrael, shezeh b'fnei asma, zeh b'fnei asma mutter. If I have a wool garment on top of linen garment and they're not attached, that is permitted. V'afil mechubar b'tzchifa achas mutter. Even if there's one stitch, it's permitted. It's only when there's two stitches together that they're forbidden. But to put one on top of the other is not a violation of Sha'anaz according to the Rashba. But the Rush goes even farther, and he cited by the Torah in saying that not only do you need two stitches, but they have to be tied together. That's what really makes it one item. So Shulchan Aruch Paskins Paskins like the Rashba, that if you have two stitches, that's a violation. But the Ramah comes and says, Yesh Omrim, there are some who say, and one tied the two heads of the thread. This is also something that comes up in Hilchos Shabbos in terms of Tofer, right? In terms of sewing. I'm learning Hilchos Shabbos on Wednesday nights, and So that was a Gemara that we saw that there is an opinion that the violation of sewing on Shabbos is sewing two stitches and tying it together. So that's what the Ramah Paskin's like. So therefore, the Chachmas Adam says that you're allowed to attach a wool garment and a linen garment by means of buttons and hooks if they're attached loosely. So he says that if they're so attached that it's difficult to separate them, regardless of how they're attached together, then that is going to be a problem of shotness. But if they're buttoned together, but they're not permanently attached, then the Chachmas Adam says it's not a problem, at least not for Ashkenazim. Rav Avadya Yosef for Sfardim says it's permitted to attach a woolen garment to a linen garment using a hook or buttons, even if they are placed this way permanently, provided that they are attached loosely. It's not even the permanence of it that matters. And on a practical level, it has to be it's the degree and the strength of the attachment, not a time issue. So Rav Avadya Yosef paskins like the Chachmas Adam there. Says the same thing with zipper or snaps. That's not considered to be an attachment. Tape, Velcro, not considered attachment. So one could argue that, with the later, I don't know how new buttons are, but let's say buttons were a relatively new invention, and certainly Velcro and zippers. So again, you could say, well, the spirit of the law is that really any attachment is problematic, or you could say that no, Chazal only forbade sewing. In this case, we say that it's really only sewing together that creates a violation of shatnez. Barring that, other placing wool and linen together per se is not necessarily a problem. We'll end off with just again. So then the question of there's a little bit more of to say about putting wool and linen on top of each other. What if the wool and linen are on top of each other, like when you're wearing clothing? That let's say if you have a wool sweater with a linen top, so you can't take off the linen top without taking off the sweater, right? So the Yerushalmi brings that with the case of socks. So the question is, are you allowed to wear leather shoes? Are you allowed to sew leather shoes with threads of linen when one is wearing woolen socks? Right. The shoes have linen. The socks have wool. So the question is, why not? Rabbi Zera had said it's forbidden. So Rabbi Ula doesn't think it's a problem, but Rabbi Ula agrees that where one wears wool socks on top of linen socks, let's say it's very cold, or in two pairs of socks. So wool socks on top of linen socks, so what's the problem? You can't take off the linen socks without taking off the wool socks. So in that case, that's a detachment. And therefore, both Rabbi Ula and Rabbi Zera would agree that that is a violation of shatnez. So Shulchan Aruch says that it's permitted. Mutar, the source 20 on page 297. Mutar lebosh chaluk shel tzemer agabe chaluk shel yachad. You can wear a cloak of wool on top of a cloak of linen, and you can tie them together. Afa pishe eno yachol lepashtan below hataras hakasher. Even if you can't take them off without untying the knot, even if it's a kesher shel kayama, even if it's a strong, sturdy, permanent knot. As long as they're not threaded together with two stitches. All right, so Shulchan Aruch says with this also that wearing a wool coat on top of a linen shirt, so you can maybe that's not as much of a problem. But what if you really can't take off one without the other? So Shulchan Aruch says that that's also fine. The only prohibition of shatnez is when they're sewn together, but
does that apply to the socks again?
So then the Ramah comes and says that some say that it's forbidden to wear two pairs of socks, one of linen, one of wool, one on top of the other, since it's possible to remove the bottom one without removing the top one. Right. So he quotes the Yerushalmi there, and he says, "V'nachon nizahir." It is appropriate to be careful about that. So that would seem to be. The psak. Rav Chaim Kamenevsky brings in the name of Chazon Ish as follows when it comes to, shoes and socks, which was the original case that the Yerushalmi mentioned. So he says, One should be careful not to wear two foot coverings, one of wool and linen on top of each other. According to this, one should not wear shoes that are sewn with linen on top of wool socks. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky takes the stringent opinion from the Yerushalmi. He says, I heard that our teacher, the Chazon Ish, the Rav Chaim Kanievsky, was a nephew of the Chazon Ish. So he says the Chazon Ish was careful about this, but there are other interpretations. And here the concern is only rabbinic. Perhaps one may be lenient, as this is the widespread custom. So apparently, Rav Chaim Kanievsky says that even though one should be machmir not to wear wool socks with shoes where there is even sort of any sort of sewing in the shoe with linen. So he says that one should be careful about it, but apparently the minhag is not to follow that. Seems like the two socks, one on top of the other, literally does seem to be a problem, but in the case of the shoe and the sock, it seems to be less of an issue. That's